Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes. With hands-free capture on an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration. And use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
And the beast is in once again, Josh Allen.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Lutz in the clutch, and the Broncos have won it.
The Rich Eisen Show, coming up on today's show. College football roundup, complete week 11 recap, Monday night football preview, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, teamed up with Disney Plus and the ESPN app everywhere in Sirius XM Channel 80. Just couldn't be more pleased with the number of ways you could watch us live or listen to us live. And of course, you can listen to us whenever you want through our podcast network. And while you're at it, why don't you hit Overreaction Monday with a subscription if you already haven't? That latest episode, Chris Brockman and I recorded earlier this very day, and it's there for your listening. And later on, the half-hour version of it will be on linear cable on ESPN2 at 4:30 Eastern Time. We're always pleased about all of that and the support we get from our friends at Disney and in Bristol, Connecticut. 844-204-RICH is the way you can chat with us.
Yeah, Rich, you can't stop us. You can only hope to contain us.
As DP once famously said.
Kind of hard to do.
Containing us?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I mean, the studio walls do that. 844-204, which phone lines are all lit, and we'll take some in a moment. The AFC North was dramatic yesterday, to say the least. Let's start with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, a game that Aaron Rodgers could not finish. All eyes on the news wire today, the left wrist that Rodgers was seen wincing and holding that knocked him out of the game and brought in Mason Rudolph, speaking of an Overreaction Monday subject from a couple weeks ago, to bring in Mason and sit Aaron Rodgers down, which is the only way that that would happen is if he's hurt, and it does appear that he is now. And I hope he's not significantly hurt for two reasons. One, I'd like to see the way that this story ends. And two, I'd like to see the chapter of this story that I've been looking forward to seeing so long, which is Rodgers going back to Soldier Field to take on a Bears team that's now in first place, like Rodgers' Steelers team still is. Because the defense did enough, and the offense with Mason Rudolph matriculated enough and put enough points on the board for the Steelers to survive and put the Bengals in quite the spot. Certainly if Jamar Chase is going to get a call from the league office. Because at one point in this game, when you see Jamar Chase jawing with Jalen Ramsey, well, that'll make you sit up in your chair. Certainly if flags are flying. And according to Jalen Ramsey, that wasn't the only thing that was flying. He said Jamar Chase spat at him. Hmm. Roll it.
He spit on me, so it's up. I don't give a about football after that. Respectfully, I'm always gonna be all for trash talking, shit talking, stuff like that. I actually enjoy that part of the game. I think people know that. But and that's what we was doing. I mean, after the first one, the first little thing, the play before, he tried to, like, crack block me or whatever. You know what I mean? I got up off that. And then we got up talking shit or whatever, and he snatched my mouthpiece off my face mask. And then that's when I mushed his face mask, and then we, whatever. That was just a little scuffle. But the refs told us right after that, like, hey, y'all chill, no more of this. Cool, so, you know, I'm knowing, like, all right, no more, you know, let's talk shit, let's keep it clean so, you know, everybody's staying here, whatever. The next play, same shit. We was talking shit for real, which I'm cool with. And then, yeah, as soon as he spit, it was bad.
Ooh, man.
League office apparently looking into it. You look at the tape, it sure looks like something was flying.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase said nothing of the case happened. Hit it.
He was saying that you spit on him. Did you spit on him?
I ain't never opened my mouth to that guy.
What do you think prompted the reaction from him?
Well, he don't like some of the words I told him. We've been going back and forth the whole time, so I'm sure some got under his skin.
So it was building the whole game. It just wasn't on that drive.
And the first time we had a altercation, and then it was the second time.
Is that the first time in your career anybody's ever punched you?
The gang? You seen me get punched?
Looks like you threw a punch.
So, just to be clear, you did not spit on him at all. That's what he's saying.
I ain't spit on nobody.
Well, we'll find out. There's a moment in the tape where it sure looks like something happened to set Jalen Ramsey off. Again, we'll find out. League is going to look into it. I don't know what that is connecting their two helmets, but it doesn't look good. Certainly, as we know, according to Ramsey, it's not his mouthpiece. So, and the league's going to have to do something about it because the league needs to, if something happened, the league needs to basically say what it does on occasion when no flags fly for hip drop tackles and something like that. We're watching, we're seeing. The, you know, eye in the sky doesn't lie. And spitting is just, again, let's see what the league has to say. It's now one guy's word, pro bowler's word against another pro bowler. It's unfortunate that these two guys don't get along.
How could they?
I don't know. You're professionals at the end of the day. That's the most unprofessional act that you can say out there other than certain words that you're never supposed to say in society if it's ever said on a field. But the bottom line is the Bengals need Ja'Marr Chase because if Joe Burrow is going to come back and play any meaningful football, Ja'Marr Chase being out ain't it. Certainly if you're Zach Taylor and your job's on the line, which I believe it is right now. Although, do me a favor. Will you look up, I should know this off the top of my head or at least look it up before, but it just popped into my head. Will you look up what his contractual status is?
Sure.
Because as you know, Mike Brown never wants to pay somebody to not work for him.
He is signed through the end of next season.
Yeah. And that might let him keep his job.
Do you lame duck him, though?
Ask Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
Why do you think Marvin Lewis got as long of a time he did on the sideline?
Zach Taylor's at least been to a Super Bowl.
I'm just saying. Ask any fan who just thought the end of the Marvin Lewis era needed to happen, and it was just like we have the drop.
Yeah.
The drop is there for a reason that we play this drop every single time a Bengal sort of gets his financial wings.
Yeah,
you know, it's a Velcro wallet ripping open. So I don't think Zach Taylor is going to lose his job just because of that. But in case the Brown family decides to tell Zach Taylor you get a year off, I don't think there's anything on the line, but if you're taking on New England at home next, you better have Ja'Marr Chase on the field. And Ja'Marr Chase, if he did what Jalen Ramsey said he would do, doesn't sound like him, he won't be there.
Yeah.
And he might not be there on Thanksgiving night either. Although it does appear it's a one-game situation because we saw Jalen Carter do it, and the league didn't suspend him because they said it happened before a snap in the game. So he did miss a game because of it, because he got ejected.
So. That shouldn't have counted, by the way.
And by the way, so the Bengals, once again, you know, watch another team score their season high in points, 34 points for the Steelers. But they also took the ball away twice. They're now 5-1 when they record a takeaway. That's it. I mean, you want to look at what the Steelers' formula is. The defense does its job, and the offense does enough. And Mason Rudolph did enough. He had 118.5 passer rating, and he completed 75% of his passes. That's what you need to see, man, when he came in the second half. And Gainwell had 81 receiving yards. DK Metcalf actually had 8 targets. And then there's the wagon, man. I don't know if there's anything more entertaining in football these days when Darnell Washington has yards after the catch. And by the way, every single Darnell Washington yard after a catch needs to be called by Kevin Harlan, who was thankfully on the mic for that moment. And he referred to the Bengals defenders that Washington ran through on his 31-yard reception that had 26 yards after the catch as bugs on a windshield. I think, oh, by the way, Kevin called that moment and Wembanyama windmill dunking off the inbounds pass on Draymond Green in the same weekend.
That was awesome.
We'll talk about that later. That's the formula. You want to know how the Steelers make the playoffs and hold off the Ravens? Play defense, get the takeaways, stay efficient on offense. And, of course, Steelers fans will tell you, will that give us a playoff win?
Nope.
Great question. I think we kind of know the answer to it, because if you take it, if the AFC North winner, I think when you see the Colts have 8 wins, the Patriots have 9 wins, and the Broncos have 9 wins, the AFC North winner is going to be your 4 seed, hosting the best possible wild card team, which may just be the Bills.
On Saturday afternoon, first game up?
No, sir.
Oh, come on.
There's still an AFC South winner that's going to most likely have to play.
What if the Colts are the 1 seed?
Okay. Maybe so. Listen, at the end of the day, is taking the ball away and being efficient enough going to beat Josh Allen?
If you can run the football, maybe. You could beat Josh. Maybe. You could beat the Bills.
Maybe. And that's my opinion of what's going on with that AFC North half of the game, of the games from the division. And you have the Ravens and the Browns, man. Listen, I know most of these players were not born when the Browns said, we're done playing in Cleveland and moving to Baltimore. I just don't know if organizationally they do infuse this in the players. I don't know. But weird stuff happens when the Ravens take on the Browns in Cleveland. It just always does, right? Remember Lamar famously had to run to the bathroom or do something? just a case in point.
That was against the Browns.
Yeah. Don't you remember? I think it was on a Monday night game where things were going nuts. Lamar suddenly has to run to the... I don't know if he said it wasn't going to the bathroom.
He said he wasn't. Yeah.
Right, well, yeah, okay. Right, yeah. Paul Pierce needed a wheelchair.
Hey.
And sure enough, you want to talk about weird, Lamar Jackson, no passing touchdowns, multiple interceptions. And he comes up with a win in those circumstances for the first time in his life, even though this basically captured the moment of the day when the Ravens were on offense and the Browns were on defense, which is Myles Garrett wrapping up Jackson for a sack. And then, again, weird stuff. Weird stuff like Mark Andrews scoring on a spinorama fake tush push.
That play was undeniably amazing. Sick. Yeah, that was awesome.
For a 35-yard touchdown run, the second longest rushing touchdown by a tight end in the history of the NFL, Hall of Famer Jackie Smith once ran one in from 36 yards out.
Was that Cowboy Jackie Smith or Cardinal Jackie?
Great question. And Mark Andrews also passed Derek Mason to be the all-time receiving yards holder in the history of the Ravens.
Oh, wow.
As Andrews joins Jason Witten, Travis Kelce, Antonio Gates, and Ozzie Newsome as the only tight ends to lead a franchise in career receiving yards. That happened. So did Dylan Gabriel having a concussion and Shedeur Sanders coming in the game. In a game in which the Browns were winning. In a game where Myles Garrett became the first player since individual sacks became an official stat to have 14 or more sacks in five straight seasons. This is all happening. While the Steelers already had a win in the books, and this was shaping up to be the exact thing I was saying all winning streak for the Ravens long, is that when you're 1-5, the occasional slip-ups become that much more glaring and damaging. And a slip-up usually doesn't include a division loss on the road, but it does when you're taking on a Cleveland team that just lost to the Jets and is now on to a fifth-round draft choice quarterback taking, wait for it, his first snaps with the first team since the summer. But that's when you lean on Derrick Henry, who broke a tie with Eric Dickerson and Jim Brown with his 42nd career game with 100 or more rush yards and a rushing touchdown in the history of the NFL, including the playoffs. He now is 42, fifth most all-time, one behind Barry Sanders, two behind LaDainian Tomlinson, six behind Sweetness. But wait for it, TJ. 21 behind Emmitt Smith.
I mean, ooh,
21 behind.
The GOAT.
Dude.
Greatest of all time.
And then just the other thing about the Ravens coming up with this win that allows me to sit here and think this right here isn't an outlier where you're struggling against a Cleveland team that struggles. Even though they have a history, it's the first time they've swept the Browns since 2020. So, you know, they usually take a loss against Cleveland. But the defense has now allowed fewer than 20 points in five straight games. After this defense in four of their first five allowed 37 or more points. So they're on a roll. They're like butter. They must be. Right? And that's what we're talking about. Next up for them is they have a Jets team coming into their house with Tyrod Taylor being the starter. Aaron Glenn, as you know, has been playing footsie and cutesy about who his starting quarterback is and starting Justin Fields at the end of the day. They have announced he is benched.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Tyrod Taylor. As the Ravens continue their run of seeing former quarterbacks in a game against them or with them, Tyler Huntley 2.0, as we know, started this winning streak by beating the Bears, their last loss, the Bears' last loss. And they've already seen Joe Flacco, who they might see again on Thanksgiving night. And now here comes Tyrod Taylor. Somewhere Kyle Bowler's like, am I getting a start?
Kyle Bowler.
So
good one.
This looks good for the Ravens to be above 500 and on a roll. And then they face the Bengals twice, who might sit there and go, why are we throwing Joe Burrow?
I wanted to bring that up earlier. Joe Burrow's not playing against.
Why
here,
they
right?
have to sit here and think? Why are we going to play him against a defense that suddenly?
Well, they're going to be out
people.
Of it. They're going to be like 3-10.
They just
and 10.
Knocked Dylan Gabriel out of a game, and I know Joe Burrow's bigger and stouter, but hey, man, they are coming for you. And the Ravens have yet to play the Steelers, and the Ravens have yet to play the Bengals. The next game that the Ravens might not be favored into win is New England, remarkably. But one by one, because you never know what can happen, as we saw in Cleveland.
For sure.
Now let's just talk about the Browns. Kevin Stefanski's already said it's Dylan Gabriel's job if he clears concussion protocol. And listen, man, I'm obviously biased. I always come out and say, I feel for Shador. I really do. He never thought in a million years this is the way he'd be born into the league. His draft is still, and always will be, I think. And I once upon a time saw a first-round pick fall in the draft because he was on the Pineapple Express with the videos showing about Larry Tunsil. I thought that was the strangest draft I've ever seen of one player, but that just lasted half a night. Shador's, as we know, lasted 3 days, to the point where even my mom is asking, what's up with Dion's son? And that's the way he's born in the league. And he finally gets into a game for the Cleveland Browns. And it's like, okay, kid, protect our lead against the Baltimore Ravens defense. go ahead and protect our lead when you haven't taken a snap since the summer with these guys. Oh, and that's number zero. Just key on Roquan Smith. Just look where he is. Oh, and number 14. Look where Kyle Hamilton is. Oh, and while you're at it, just this is a Ravens defense I just said that has not given up more than 20 points in five straight games, and no other team in the NFL has a four-game win streak in which they've given up 20 or fewer points. No one's got more than that, and the Ravens have now got five games this season like that in a row, and they've won four of them. Okay, Shador, go do that. And at one point, he did put a ball, when he's running for his life, right on his receiver in the end zone, and it got broken up by, I wish I could recall which corner it was, but it was a nice play, but he put the ball right where it needed to be for a go-ahead score.
But he also ran around and took bad sacks and had a pick.
And of course, what do you expect?
That's what I expect out of a fifth-round pick. Right. He just doesn't look like a pro player.
Not yet. And he's not going to get the chance with the Cleveland Browns, man. I don't know what it is. And everything that they have done. Listen, I know they wanted to try Flacco, and I know they drafted Dylan Gabriel over him, and it looks like they believe Dylan Gabriel is the better pro prospect, which is their right to do. Then why draft the kid when you did? And they've been pushing back nonstop ever since the moment in the draft when Shador got drafted by them, and the coach and the GM are captured on their team's draft cam looking like they were just told something happened to their dog. They looked miserable, you know, like one of those golf claps, instead of the draft moments when somebody get. Look at like the Dallas Cowboys.
High fives,
when they draft
and
somebody,
handshakes.
It looks like they just made $100 million oil deal that they're telling the Wall Street Journal about.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Right, for sure.
They were just like, hey, golf clap, Shador Sanders. And everything that's happened since then has only served to fuel that narrative. But it's not their job to unfuel the narrative. It's their job to win games with the quarterback that they feel is
Coach Mark.
Shador had this to say after the game. Apparently, he went in the locker room and took responsibility for the loss.
I don't think I played good. I don't think I played good at all. I think it's a lot of things, you know, we need to look at, you know, during the week and go and just get comfortable even throwing routes, you know, with Jerry and throwing routes with all those guys. So I think that was my first ball to him all year. but other than that, I just think overall we just got to go next week and understand so then we have a week to prepare stuff I like to do.
And I don't blame him. What a tough spot that is, because you want as a quarterback to go up and own it, right? You need to own the podium because this is my team, but he doesn't even know if it's his team. And even him, basically, he can't go up and say, I have not thrown a pass with these guys since the summer. And you're telling me to go pull it out against the Ravens? But if he does that, then he's not taking responsibility. And he did basically say, you know, hey, it's the first time I threw to this guy. Because he wants you to know, this is not optimum. And I'd love to have a shot in a week where we put stuff in for me.
Yeah. And that was Chidobe Awuzie who blocked.
Great job by him, man, because it otherwise was going to be a touchdown. Yeah. I mean, Shador put it on him. But, I mean, so even his first post-game podium can't be like, I'm the quarterback around here. Whole thing stinks, man.
I like Shador, and like you, I'm not quiet about that. But I hope he doesn't make it with the Browns. I hope he gets a chance to go somewhere else, because Brotman, how many quarterbacks' names are on that jersey that's famous, that picture?
There's, yeah, we can call Joe Thomas real quick. He can rattle them
off.
You
know, like, I'd rather see him go somewhere where he might actually have a chance to develop.
Well, I think the good news is, in today's NFL, who you are with your first team or your second team does not define you.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, does not define you as who you are in this league. You know, just look at Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and others. So
Baker Mayfield is returning on Sunday night to the spot that he won a game in 48 hours. And I understand that that kind of discounts what I'm saying is like how tough it is to win a game.
But those guys were also top of the draft selections.
But Baker also played in playoff games. He had enough experience where he could just stroll up and tell Sean McVay, I got this thing.
And he won a playoff game with Cleveland.
So Shador's drafted in a manner in which he doesn't want to. I mean, it's wild. And then he finally gets in a game and then he goes to the podium. Hey, kid, go speak. Well, okay. Talk about what?
Well, Stefanski's also coaching for his job. I mean, it seems unlikely that he's going to be back as well. There's going to be a lot of turnover in the AFC North, I feel like, next year.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk about Chicago and Carolina. And I guess, like Sesame Street. It's sponsored by the letter C.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio-quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium-quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos. They look as good as they sound. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. As a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we know that during the holiday season, every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 on the Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. Give joy, get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026. Back on ESPN Radio, which is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is helping veterans drive their lives forward with its Keys to Progress program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Mossab in Chicago wants to crow a little bit, I imagine. What's up, sir? How you been?
Hey, good. What about you, Rich?
I'm doing fine. What's on your mind?
So, I called you 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
And I tried to warn you.
Warn me? What'd you try to warn me about?
The disrespect shown to the Chicago Bears. Now, the first place in the NFC North Chicago Bears was too much. But you didn't listen. You didn't listen. And nobody else is seeming to listen to the advice that I'm giving out for free. I'm not asking for anything in return. I'm just asking for
Restate the advice. Go for it. Restate it. What is it?
The Bears are going to take care of the western part of Pennsylvania, right? Aaron Rodgers is already looking for excuses to not play us because he knows how it's going to turn out.
It looks like he broke the wrist.
That is amazing.
Wow. Keep going.
Then, I'm not going to say that we're going to beat the Eagles, but if they keep playing the way that they are on offense, their defense is legitimate. But their offense, if they keep playing like that, we have a chance, right? And then if we split with the Packers, we beat the Browns, we beat the 49ers, who are injured.
Yes.
Like every other week.
Okay.
You know?
Uh-huh.
We take care of the Lions the last week. I'm not saying we're going to win the division, but look out, because we're going to make a playoff push. And if we do make a playoff push and we're rolling, I don't think teams are going to be too hot about us coming in.
Dude, let me just respond here. If you do everything you just say, you better win the division. I don't know how you don't at 7-3.
I would love to win the division.
Because you wind up splitting with Green Bay, and you wind up splitting with Detroit. You beat San Francisco on the way. You also beat Cleveland. Those are now four wins. You've got seven already. That gives you 11. And are you giving me a 12th win against with the win? Are you saying you beat the Eagles? State it, sir.
I'm not saying we're going to beat the Eagles. I had that mark as a loss. And, Rich, I don't know if you keep your files of the win-loss game with whenever we play.
What was it?
I called in, and my prediction, it was 11-6.
Okay.
The disrespect is real.
Mossab in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Video going around today that I've seen, Seth Rollins had the Bears 8-2 at this point, so he was one off, and everyone called him crazy.
Do I have the keep tap testing?
Yeah, that was the video I saw, TJ. You know, when we posted that, that was when he was part of the great hoodwink over the summer.
The great hoodwink.
That's Seth got us.
I like it, the great hoodwink.
We have been hoodwinked.
Yeah. Exactly. We played the win-loss game, and he had them 8-2.
Right now, hold on a second.
8-2.
Ashton Kutcher wound up with a 12-5. Ooh. I've got all the win-losses.
What about after 10 weeks? After 10 games?
Hold on. Mossab in Chicago at 11-6.
Okay.
After 10 games, he had them 1, 2, 3, 4, 4-1, 5-1, 5-2, 5-3, 6-3. He had them 7-3.
Mossab or Ashton?
Ashton. He has them beating the Steelers to go 8-3 and then losing to Philadelphia to go 8-4.
That'd be perfect.
He told me he's ready to boost that number up to 13, by the way.
Byron in Los Angeles had the Bears 11-6 overall. Same with Mossab. Jacob in Toledo, 10-7. Andrew Santino had them going 11-6. David in L.A. had him 8-9 and Adam, our call screener, had him 11-6 as well.
Ooh,
that's looking pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
Here's the deal. Okay.
Rich.
No.
I love it.
Here's the deal.
That was a disrespectful okay.
Yeah,
just to let you know.
Yeah, that was that was, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was.
That's a you. That's a YP. That's not an MP. That's a YP.
A little bit. Disrespect him a little bit.
Seemed like it.
Here's the deal. I need to see one thing from the Bears. Again, put up their schedule, if you don't mind. Just to make sure I'm not completely... No.
I mean, that would be fun.
I need to see here what they did against Dallas.
Just an ass kicking.
That was disgusting.
Yeah.
I need to see that again in the next three games of one of these opponents. Home for Pittsburgh, at Philadelphia, at Green Bay. I need to see it once in the next three, and then I'm thinking they are not only worthy of winning this division, but can make some hay. I need to see it one more time. They've won 3-0. They had Cincinnati score an absurd number of points against them, and Colston Loveland did what he did at the end of that game that is still, I think, causing Bengals fans to vomit.
I mean,
all right,
filthy.
And then if you put it up again one more time, please, if you don't mind. Then the Giants, we all know that caused Daboll to lose his job because Dart got knocked out of a game that the Giants blew. And then Minnesota, despite J.J. McCarthy looking like Tim Tebow on steroids in the first three and a half quarters of that game, came up with a game-winning drive to put them ahead, only to have the Bears come up with two special teams moments.
Yep.
A huge return and then a nice kick to win it at the end to pull it out. And that's what they've been doing. It's the fifth time this year that they've trailed with less than 2 minutes to play in the fourth quarter and won. That's tied for the most such wins in a season by anybody in the history of the NFL. So they have done something that nobody's been able to do, which is stare into the jaws of defeat and snatch victory. And Williams, with those five game-winning drives this year, that's the most by a Bears quarterback in a single season ever. That's right. Not even Kyle Orton or Jay Cutler. So, and, you know, the defense is doing its job too. They took the ball away again. And this defense has been very opportunistic to do it. Two more takeaways in week 11. When they take the ball away two or more times in a game, the Bears are undefeated 6-0. So that's why I need to see an ass kicking. And I need to see Caleb Williams coming out in the first quarter doing what he's done in the fourth quarter. And I've been holding Bo Nix to the same standard. I need to, and again, what we're definitely seeing is Caleb Williams improving.
Oh, yeah.
Which we were all wondering, where's this going to go 2025 with Ben Johnson? Certainly when they started
0-2 in the first 2 weeks.
They are leading a division they started 0-2 in.
Yeah, first 2 weeks was rough.
Okay. They've lost the first two games of the season. They were 0-2. They're now 7-3. Check the box. Awesome. They started in division 0-2 to start the season. They're now leading the division after 11 weeks. Check that box. Their coach, can he dial it up? Check that box. Can the defense take the ball away? Check that box. They're checking boxes.
Ass-kicking box hasn't been checked.
Well, they did check it against the Cowboys for their first win
they
of the
did,
season.
So they got it, yeah.
And I just need to see an ass-kicking before I'm like, okay, they're going to win this division and they're going to make some hay.
Yeah.
And again, because when you win games by having to constantly pull it out of the jaws of defeat,
yeah,
and you need your defense to be opportunistic enough. That's how you can play up and down. Just look at the Steelers who are coming in next. For you to win this division, you've yet to play Green Bay. You haven't played Philadelphia yet. You got to play the Lions another time. Just to name some of their opponents between now and then, the Niners. And if you don't win the division, that game could be for making the playoffs or not, depending on how Carolina continues to come on. And, you know, that's big, what's ahead of them. But to start it, this gauntlet at 7-3 is pretty damn impressive. Certainly when you start at 0-2, and we're all wondering, can this first overall pick kid do it? And the running game, they're finding their Sonic and Knuckles, not like DeAndre Swift is Jahmyr Gibbs, but Monongai looks a lot like
Monongai is good.
Montgomery.
I think he was a 7th-round pick too, right?
And yeah, I mean, if you want to run him back, take a 7th-round pick out of Rutgers. It's a good idea. This kid runs with some juice.
Yep.
And some pop.
Juice.
And that's what Ben Johnson wants. He wants you to be hit in the mouth, and the defense is doing it. I'm not being disrespectful. I just need your next three. You got the Steelers coming in, maybe with Mason Rudolph. I love Masab saying that Rodgers is ducking the Bears. Fantastic.
Man, I wish I had thought of that.
He was so scared.
Honestly,
broke his hand.
Pretty jealous.
Yeah. He's so afraid of the Bears
right now.
He told the Bengals, please break my wrist.
Yeah. Here, coach.
I wish I had thought of that.
And then the Eagles after Thanksgiving, and then the 1-2 against the Packers.
You don't need a knockout, though.
They beat the Eagles.
I know
you said you want that. But.
No, of course you don't. Just keep winning the way that you are. Yeah, that's tough to do. I want to see. We are better than you. We're going to dominate you from the jump. Let's see it. I would say it's unfair, disrespectful, but it's the way I feel.
It's the Rich Eisen show. You have that right.
844-204 Rich is the number to dial here on the show. Don't go anywhere. More of your phone calls. We've got to hit on Carolina. The Jets news, college football, Draymond getting dunked on by Wemby. Coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Let's talk about O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts, accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, too, can test your battery for free in or out of your car. And if it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. That's how helpful they are. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Hyundai Hope on Wheels, I've been telling you about it over and over again, if you haven't heard me. For those in the back, we're very proud of it. Hyundai is, I'm proud to be teamed up with Hyundai because the Hyundai Hope on Wheels campaign is all about making sure that kids who are sick with cancer get better or, even better, never get it. Because the life-saving pediatric cancer research that Hyundai is funding over the last 27 years with their 850 dealers nationwide together has raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. HyundaiUSA.com. Search Hope on Wheels there to learn more. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here on the program. Glenn in Elk Grove, California. You're on. What's up, Glenn?
You doing? First of all, this is an honor to be able to speak to you. You are a living legend.
I'm a
big time ESPN fan. I've followed you.
Great, thank
you. Anyway,
you know you've called the Rich Eisen show, right? You understand that?
Oh, yeah. This is the wrong Rich.
Oh, wait a minute. Nice. Thank you for saying that. What's on your mind?
Anyway, you with all these podcasters and all that, you just like drives me crazy. But anyway, I'm a big time Cowboy fan.
Okay.
You can laugh at me. I'm a Deion Sanders fan. My question to you, or my point to share with you, is I heard your take on Shador, and I don't know, I just listening, it seems like Shador, he's a fifth rounder. He put up some nice numbers in Colorado, but the thing is, he's almost like he's a backup. Like, he's not the first backup that's ever had to, that's been put in the position he was put in.
Correct.
Yesterday.
You're right.
I'm sure a lot of the backups throughout league history, don't take as many snaps as the first team quarterback, if any. So, I'm just hearing around, he isn't getting a real chance. I could understand in the preseason when you had five offensive linemen who were cut the following week, but I'm sure that wasn't the first time that's ever happened to a backup.
Well, here's the thing. The reason why I said, Glenn, what I said before, and I'll repeat it again here, is that I feel for him, is that even with everybody who thought he was a first-round draft choice in the pre-draft process, even with everybody, anybody who was saying that, I think to a pundit would always say, this person needs to be drafted into a spot with a coach and a system that's right for him. He can't just fit into any system. And True. He needs to be a guy who goes to a spot where the coach takes him in and puts him into a system that works for him. And he gets drafted by a spot that we're still wondering why they drafted him. And the I don't know why the Browns drafted him, because everything that's happened since then makes it seem like he's not welcome there or never was, Glenn. And I appreciate the call. I'm sorry I'm up against it. Thank you for saying what you said. Honestly, is he the first quarterback drafted in the fifth round that a lot of people thought should be drafted higher? Of course not. Is he the first backup quarterback that's been thrown into a frying pan on fire? Is he the first guy to be thrown in that situation? Of course not. Of course not. Is he the first fifth round drafted guy to have the last name of Sanders? Yep. Is he the first fifth round guy to be drafted into this situation to a team that's starting a 40-year-old and drafted somebody else in the rookie class two rounds before for a franchise that's been looking for a quarterback forever and a day? That at some point in a season that is lost should get an opportunity to see what's up, like the full-on opportunity? Yeah, I think he's the first to be in this situation. And the reason why I bring up the Sanders name is because it throws a spotlight on the kid, which is maybe why some teams didn't want to draft him, like Deion standing above this thing like a colossus, throwing all the attention on him. Deion's got his own stuff he needs to deal with, from his own personal health to what's going on in Colorado after his son. And the whole business of that Deion's going to stand in judgment and be the next coach in waiting, has that played out in Cleveland? Nope. But have people gone on the air on television questioning his desire to play and making it about him because he's sitting all by himself on the bench thinking, I blew it. This was my one opportunity and I blew it. And this is my one opportunity for a team that I don't know if they really want me here, and they throw me in this opportunity and now I've got to own losing this game. And people are then going to go on TV the next day and call me out without knowing me. Is he the first to have that happen? I don't know. Ask Rex. Because I don't hear Rex all in on other people, too. And I understand this is now, what, one Disney person barking at another Disney person. I don't play that game. I'll bark at anybody on any network. Doesn't matter to me. But I saw that this morning, and I'm like, you've got to give me a break. He is in a situation he probably never dreamt. And he's staring into space, but why? Because look at me, please have the cameras on me. Or are you ascribing something you believe about this kid? And if you're getting this sort of stuff secondhand and you're going to throw it out there, we're going to see him in New York. I hope I'm on Get Up with him. Because half the time I'll be telling him, thanks for those 2 years with the Jets, man. But I don't understand what's going on with Shador. Is he the first in so many of these cases? Of course not. But is he the first in his particular case on a few other things? You bet he is. I think it just stinks for everybody, to be honest with you.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.